Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. You can talk to me about why there was 11 later. If you don't know, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, keyword, everything I have commanded, keyword, you. And surely I am with you even to the end of the age." So when a person is leaving this earth and they're aware of it and their departure is imminent, oftentimes they leave what we call a last will and testament, what their will is following their departure, and they will speak openly to their family and their friends, remind them of their love for them, and encourage them. And they also, in a last will and testament, have the ability to leave behind instructions for you to follow. And Jesus left behind a last will and testament, basically. And I want to tell you that the good news from the will is that we inherit the riches of the kingdom. We inherit healing, salvation, deliverance, and blessings too many to contain. And so we have an inheritance, but Jesus also left behind some very specific instructions, which we call the Great Commission. I will tell you that the Great Commission, some form of the Great Commission is included in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus in the Great Commission is authorizing his disciples and charging them to go out and make disciples of all nations. He's charging them with a great responsibility of baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He tells them to teach these disciples to obey everything I have commanded you. We became disciples because someone taught us, and we obey, and God has called us. So any instructions that Christ gave are also to us, not just the first 11, 12, and the people of the Bible. They are to us today. And he tells them he will be with them always, sent the Holy Spirit, and to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sin to all the nations. That's going to be our key this morning. They are being sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I personally am going to repeat this again. I do not believe that we can be successful in the kingdom of God to fulfill what we are called personally to do, or to fulfill the Great Commission without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that. I can't hardly drive down the road without the power of the Holy Spirit. Possibly a road rage incident could occur, not the other person. I can't go to Dunkin' Donuts because that line is awful. Yesterday, in fact, Sandra and I had to have the power of the Holy Spirit because the food was so delayed, and we were the hostesses, and believe me, we needed the power of the Holy Spirit to continue as a follower of Christ and keep our mouth shut. So we decided to talk to one another instead of complain. So I'm telling you, to fulfill the Great Commission, we need the Holy Spirit's help. Now I'm going to give you some facts, if you will. According to a Barna study, 51% of churchgoers are not even familiar with the term Great Commission. So that means they don't know they're supposed to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. 17% of the church goers know, only 17% of churchgoers know the Great Commission. And this doesn't mean that they absolutely obey the Great Commission, because to know something does not equal being obedient to it, does it? And so that's 17%. That's pretty shallow, in my personal opinion. There are people who ask and will ask, is the Great Commission actually relevant to today? Okay, I'm going to answer that question. First, anything and everything in God's Word is relevant to today. And this, in particular, is not just relevant to today, it is urgent for today. And so we need to understand that the Great Commission is to us. According to the Joshua Project, there are at least, now get ready to be shocked, there are at least 3.2 billion people worldwide who are yet unreached with the gospel. That shocked me. I'm going to just give it to you straight. These people either are people who live in areas that are remote and dangerous with limited access to the rest of the world, or they live in places of high levels of Christian persecution. And so that prohibits people of being comfortable, not that we're called to be comfortable, but being comfortable going to present the gospel to them. Now, I want to say this. I understand completely that not every disciple, including you and I, are called to be specifically a missionary, to go into another nation. Just as, like, not every disciple is called to be a pastor, a worship leader, a Bible study teacher. However, that doesn't get us off the hook. Every disciple, every one of us, are responsible to obey the Great Commission. So how is that going to happen? Well, I want to tell you that, first of all, Paul traveled, and the church is who supported him. And I want to, specifically the church of Philippi, the Philippians supported him and did so well. And I want to tell you first what a disciple is versus an apostle missionary. A disciple, the definition of a disciple is simply called a learner. So if you say, are you a disciple? Yes, you are. Are you learning God's word? Yes, you are. So you're a disciple. That doesn't mean you're an apostle, because an apostle means you're sent out, means a different organization, some organization higher than you has sent you forth, okay? And a missionary is someone who is on a mission, and that we should all be missionaries somewhere, if not in other third world countries or other place, remote places, missionaries to the world here. In our community, you can be a missionary to your community. No kidding. And we forget this. We all have a part in reaching the world for Christ. We together are the body of Christ. We are all members of the body with different functions, different gifts, different callings. But we all have the same purpose to, and read it right here, to know Christ and to make him known. It's on the pulpit. It's engraved here, our purpose, if anyone ever asks you. I'm going to read to you Romans 10:14. But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? There are three questions that Paul is asking here. How can they call on him when whom they have not believed, haven't heard? How can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone to preach? Someone has to preach. Someone has to be the mouth, has to use their mouth and go forth and let God anoint them to do this work and actually be on site in the field. In any organization, there are people that are behind the scenes. There are people that are supporting it. There are people that are in administration. And then there are people who are actually in the field. Any company kind of works like that, too. I want to say that the church in America here, we are very, very blessed. As our song says, God has shed his grace on thee, and that ain't no joke. That line in that song is powerful. God shed his grace on thee. You better never forget that. He certainly did. And we can easily forget, because God has graced us so abundantly, we can easily forget that there are still people, 3.2 billion, who have not yet heard the good news of the gospel. There are also believers in other nations who are suffering great persecution. While we are comfortable, we are complacent, apathetic, and sometimes possibly ungrateful for the grace that's been extended to us and the blessings that we have been given that we take for granted. There are people who are called to go into the nations, and how do you know that if you're one of the people who are called? Well, God simply puts by the Holy Spirit a burning desire in your heart that becomes so strong that you simply cannot deny it. I have heard, and I believe this, that the Holy Spirit, he has been called the Hound of Heaven, meaning he is kind and gentle, but he also bold and relentless, and he doesn't easily take no for an answer. And I love him for that, by the way. I love the Holy Spirit that you won't take no, you won't let me off the hook. And if you don't believe that he is relentless, maybe when you get to heaven, you should ask a man named Jonah how relentless the Holy Spirit is. He ain't going to let you off the hook. Not that easy, not that quick. We have so much. And Pastor Ken and I and our mom, we have a niece who has been called by God, and she has been sent forth by the Assemblies of God organization as a missionary, an on-site, in-the-field missionary to the nations. And most of you know her, Monica Gonzalez. I have her picture right here, and it'll be on the screen at the end. Oh, it's right up there right now. Good job, Sandra. We're going to give her extra in her check. Double or nothing, as they say. Monica has a heart for the world, for the nations. She has answered that call of God, that burning call that God put on her heart, and she has willingly served in other nations for the past few years. So I'm going to share a couple things about her. I want to share a few of the things she's done, and then give you an opportunity at the end of this to be a part of the work, should you decide, that she does in the kingdom of God as a missionary. Monica's first missionary term was spent in Ecuador serving the Shuar tribe. There she taught school, the English language, ran VBS vacation Bible school programs in small villages throughout the jungle. Yes, I did say jungle. I did say the Amazon jungle. Just go ahead, raise your hands if you've been to the jungle lately. Anybody? Any jungle? Yep, Maribel. There we have it. Not a big representation out there in the jungle, is it? We got Monica and Maribel out there. And Monica worked at Hope House, which houses girls coming out of abusive and tragic situations. 86% of the girls in that jungle area are abused by the age of 14, if not earlier. This area has the highest percentage of mothers under the age of 12 in the country. How many of you know mothers under 12? Under 12 years old. Not many. The Hope House is a place where these girls are given a safe place to live away from their abusers and an opportunity to receive an education, the opportunity that many of the girls there will never receive. The girls Monica served at Hope House became community leaders and eventually went into ministry and other professional jobs. This is something that is highly unusual for girls coming out of the jungle. Her second term was spent in Costa Rica, running a school for children ages kindergarten through 12, working at the local missionary training center, where she trained other missionaries, and helping launch children's ministries and serve there, training other churches how to begin children's ministries. I want you to know that this is not easy. She is a young single girl, has no job like you and I have, no job to do this. I want you to know that she has been in many near-death situations, including being trapped in two landslides on the side of a mountain while it was raining, near death with no medical care. She's had to run out of buildings during earthquakes, and it was only prayer that saved her life so many times. She's been sick and deathly sick out there, and it's not like you and I where we can just go to the ER and get yourself some help. It doesn't work like that. Her third term is being spent doing training, mentoring new missionaries here in the U.S. She's presently in Springfield, Missouri, here in the U.S., before they leave for their first term on the mission field and generating income to continue ministry in Latin America. Monica is serving in so many different areas of need. She's taken on many additional assignments and responsibilities. Why does she do this as a young single girl? Well, I can answer that. First of all, she's called by God. She is called by God. And when you're called, you're called. When God asks us to do something, the answer is always, the correct answer is yes. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Sadly, what many say is, here I am, Lord, and here I shall stay. Send someone else, please. That's primarily the answer. But there are those who will say, here I am, Lord, send me. Monica does this because she has a compassion like none I've ever seen before besides Maribel, for the lost and the broken and the children of the world. And these two girls, I commend them with the highest praise. I don't want to embarrass you, Maribel, but I am so blessed by what you do. So blessed. Do any of you remember the song that you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, not just us. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. It's a great song, isn't it? It's a great song. But if we say we love somebody, if we sing that we love somebody and do not show love, all we've done is say we love the children of the world. It's not enough. Our actions have to confirm our words in order for our words to even be the truth. That's just how it is. We can't say something. I can't say I love you and never put any kind of action behind that. I want to share something that we have decided. I've decided. I've got my husband on board. My mother has partnered with Monica for a long time to take the gospel good news to the nations. Because Monica doesn't just say she cares about the children of the world. She doesn't sit in Sunday school and sing it. She actually goes out and sits with the children of the world and cares by actions. She lives in private what she proclaims in public. She lives a life above reproach, and she lives with integrity. Monica has high moral values and lives a life of honor. I do not know that many young single girls who are willing to risk their lives as she has and serve in other lands in places of danger. I want to offer you an opportunity to be a part of this ministry. I would like to offer you an opportunity to share in bringing the gospel to Latin America and other lands by praying for Monica. I have prayer cards here for anyone who wants prayer cards to pray for her that she has given me. To do that and to support her financially, whether it's little or great, can be one-time gift, can be $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever God puts on your heart, if he should. But I'm compelled to do this because I may never have the opportunity, to be honest, to go places that she goes and preach, but I can send her. I can make sure these children will hear what I would tell them, what I would like to tell them, what I would like to teach them if they were here sitting in front of me. And it's an honor to give when God has given me so much, especially to those. And let me say this, God is a good paymaster. Do you believe that? I believe that. I've seen it. I'm an example of it. He is a good, good paymaster, and he returns not part of what you give. He returns all of what you give back to you. All I have, all that belongs to me ever, that God will ever give me, belongs to him. It's from him, and it goes back to him. And, you know, if you want to give into this ministry, there's no pressure, but you can do so by talking to me after service at a time that's convenient for you. It's so easy to sign up for automatic electronic donation through the AG organization. You can send Monica contributions through Venmo. I've been given permission to give you her Venmo address. It doesn't take much to make a difference in the world. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be a one-time great gift. But I want to tell you, there is something about, and I told someone recently this, I've told many people this, as a matter of fact, because they were telling me my finances aren't blessed, da-da-da, you know, and I say, it's possible that you're sowing in wrong soil. You know, in order, we have to sow into good soil. You know, that I've earned, I want it to be sown into good soil so that it multiplies. That's why whatever you give will be enough. Doesn't matter. People say, well, I won't give because it's too small. Don't feel that way. Don't feel that way at all, because everything counts in the kingdom of God, because he multiplies. He's a God who adds to my life, and he multiplies in my life. Monica, like other missionaries, they're depending on God's people to support them, just like Paul was, and go the places that we cannot go. I want to tell you that Monica and others willing like her, when they go, they're ambassadors of good news in our place. They go in our place too. They represent us. They represent the kingdom. They represent Christ, but they represent us also. Now, I confess that I'm not sure I would be comfortable living the life that Monica lives. Is that okay for a pastor to confess that to you this morning? I'm not comfortable yet with life in the jungle, okay? I said it, I'm human. Here's why. There's a few things in the jungle that don't make me feel too comfortable. Number one, there's snakes. Snakes. I'm not a snake person. I'm just not. So I don't feel especially comfortable. Come on over where there's big snakes. Are they poisonous? Yes, they are. Oh, great. I'm running to get to the jungle. Not a snake person. Number two, there are still there today evil and wicked tribal people that are not exactly like the greeters at Walmart that I am accustomed to. They're not friendly like the people at Christian Fellowship Church. So those things concern me. Now, here's some things that are also not in the jungle. Number one, there is no Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry. Monica said there's not. There's not a Chick-fil-A. Number two, where's the mall, Monica, and the theaters that I could go and, you know, some R&R here? No mall. No theaters. And how many of you use your phones on a regular basis? Come on, don't lie to me. The phone service is sketchy in the jungle. Very sketchy. They don't have it. I can't call Frida and go, help, there's a landslide. Help, I'm at the end of the spear, the tribal. This is the spear. And there's somebody going to kill me. Frida, help. No, there's none of that. And to top it all off, I'm not sure that the hot water supply is what I'm used to. I'm used to hot water, good stuff. You know, I can't tell Grace hey, you just go down the street and you can grab your Pureology for your hair. No, it's kind of not like that. So since this is the way it is, since I don't feel comfortable, and some of you I can tell you wouldn't be quite, you're not snake people either. And, you know, you need your phone, so I would assume that you're not comfortable either. So since you and I don't have a desire to go into the jungle or be a missionary on the field, I have a great idea. Let's send Monica. Let's send Maribel. Let's send Monica. Because God has called them. And it is time to pray for people on a serious note. They're willing to do what we don't, or what we won't, whichever may be the case. I want to remind you of the story of Nate Saint. Some of you know that in September of 1955, Saint was joined by his teammates. He went to the Huronee tribe, where Monica was at her first term, to the Alka people. And there were five of them that were speared to death. They took the gospel, and there were five that were speared to death. They died as martyrs at the end of the spear. There's a book you can read, a movie you can see. I'll give it to you later. Their death was not in vain. The blood they shed, God honored that blood. They became martyrs, all five of them. Later, Nate Saint's son, Steve, his sister Rachel, continued to minister to that tribe. The man and the people who killed them became believers. They became believers, and so much so that the man who speared him was named Minkaya. He became a grandfather. The man he speared to death, his son, he became like a father to him, and his children called him eventually grandfather. Grandfather. God so did a transformation in some of those people there that it is one of the most powerful stories even today, but the work is not finished. There is so much work to do on the mission field that we need to continue. We need to be supportive. We need to stand with our missionaries. We need to do what we can, and especially not to forget, because we have the tendencies when we come into our houses and lands to forget the goodness of God, but also to forget how other people suffer and how they have to live compared to what the blessings that we have in this life, the blessings that we have been given that are insurmountable, that are so much. It's almost a shame to say no to a situation like this because there's such a great work to be done. And we are called as part of the Great Commission. And if I'm not going to go, I have to make sure that I somehow, some way, whether it's through prayer. Again, I just want to share with you that Monica does not have a job. Like you and I go to work, compensation in that way. And it's totally dependent upon God's people. And that's where we're at. I wanted to share today because it's been on my heart that to support this because there is such a great, great work to do. There are many, many missionaries out there. And this is where I'm at. This is where we're at. I think we have to do something. I don't think that we can sit and preach to ourselves every week, week after week. I'm going to preach to you. You preach back to me. For you want to preach? Pastor Ken will preach. We preach to each other. We comfort each other. We help each other when someone has a need. You know, if you need tracts, we just go out and get them. You pass them out. It's as simple as that. But there's a greater work outside these doors. You have to get on airplanes. You have to go into remote places that maybe you're not comfortable when you get there. But sometimes we have to sacrifice. If you're called, you have to be willing to sacrifice some of the comforts that we're accustomed to in life. So the very least we can do is pray. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray for Monica, Maribel, and all the others that are out there that do a work that we can be a part of. And we're going to be talking about Mexico in the next couple weeks also. Maribel works in Mexico, and we're going to be talking about that. So, and God will bless us. God will bless us for all we do. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we honor what you have said when you left this earth, and you gave out the instructions, the final instructions. Those instructions are some instructions that we probably need to say we're sorry, Lord, that we haven't done all that we could do or all that we should do. And Father, we thank you for giving us the Great Commission, for telling us. And we thank you for hearing the truth, Lord, about the people that are still have not heard the word, the good word that we hear week after week after week and take for granted, and the graces that we take for granted. Father, I ask that you would bless Monica, and you would especially bless Maribel, Father God. Father God, I ask that you would provide for them always, as you do. And I ask that you would protect them wherever they go. I know that Maribel and Monica have been in some very, very difficult situations. And Lord, I ask that you would always keep your hand upon them, that no harm would come near them, that anyone who would try to raise a spear, a weapon, or try to harm them in any way, Lord, that you would stand in the way, that you would send angels to surround them, to protect them. Father, I thank you that you have protected them and us, Lord. And Father God, let us be willing now to be a part, even in this world where everybody seems to have their hand out. Father God, we want to give where it counts, where it matters, Father God. Not something crazy, but where it matters, and this matters. Father, I thank you for their heart. Continue to work inside of them. Give them wisdom, Father God. Let everything they do multiply, bring souls in the kingdom. Father God, that's what we're interested in, the same thing that you're interested in, that they would come to know salvation, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you and we praise you. So see me, you're welcome to sit down. We're going to have a presentation now, a slideshow of some of the work that Monica has done, and I think that you will be very, very blessed by this, and you can see me for cards and any information you need. God bless you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.